production.
Welcome to Taking On Sports, your favorite sports podcast here on the Alabama Take Podcast Network. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. Let's get into it, folks. As always, we'll start with college football and the home team, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Big win in Arkansas on the road yesterday. Obviously, the big story coming out is Bryce Young's shoulder. Coach Saban said afterwards, it's not too big of a deal. May even be back next week for A&M. After he went down, Tide had a really worrisome third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, Jahmyr Gibbs put the team on his back and ran for about 1,000 yards. Greg, what do you make of the game?
Well, scary moment there with Bryce. I guess it could be worse than what could have been worse than what we think now. Because, right when it happened, Gary was even saying, oh, I had something similar happen to me, and it was a torn rotator cuff. And I was like, oh, man, what? better than what it could be. Milroe stepped in, did what he needed to do. Got a little hectic there in the third quarter, as we all know. But, calmed down, got it together, and did what we had to do to get out of Fayetteville with ended up a pretty, impressive win to go to Fayetteville with your backup quarterback and for the whole second half there and to win by 20. I mean, you can't ask for too much more than that, despite the hectic third quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it was worrisome. Hectic third quarter, Arkansas shut down the defense, maybe some questionable Bill O'Brien play calling. It seemed like they kind of went away with what was working. Then they went back, and like I said, Jahmyr Gibbs, just he's obviously the best playmaker on the offense.
That man is human highlight reel when he gets going.
Oh, he is. I didn't see any of them when he was at Georgia Tech, and when he made the announcement he was transferring to Alabama, a lot of writers are like, oh, that's a big get.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we'll see. And everyone's been right. He is outstanding.
He is. It's amazing.
If Alabama can run the ball like that, man, that's just a big, big plus for them.
Exactly. It's amazing, that with how bad Georgia Tech's been, that they had a talent like that even on the team, and that he was, I guess, more highly recruited, and the fact that he ended up at Georgia Tech is kind of surprising. He's either come a long way or he was very looked at coming out of high school. But
yeah, it's amazing that he'd end up on a program like Alabama out of high school.
Just to begin with, but
yeah. Well, they got the game at home, the big revenge game against A&M next week, who they just got routed by Mississippi State. Jimbo's making a lot of money to put out a very mediocre at best product.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, though, because, it's kind of almost in that same situation as last year as far as them coming into the game. What did they lost, two or three? They lost to Arkansas. They lost somebody else, I forget. It was Arkansas, but they lost two coming in. And, they lost the App State game. They got blown out yesterday. Probably should have lost to Arkansas. So, coming into that same situation kind of last year when we took the loss in College Station, kind of strange in those circumstances. But, yeah, I think, the revenge game, we know Saban in revenge games, a lot of the players are still there, willing them, they're ready to go. So, I think we'll be all right Saturday.
Yeah. Alabama going in as the new number one team in the AP poll.
Yes, sir.
Surpassing Georgia, who struggled again, and this time had to come back from, 16-3 down?
16-3.
To win on the road in Columbia, Missouri. Hey, sometimes you got to struggle win, but that's – what do we got to take from this?
I don't know. Last week was one thing. People are like, oh, this, why was it so close? But, this week, this was a This was a Mizzou team coming off a loss to Auburn, and you know Georgia a 22-point favorite, and even in Columbia, I mean, I was shocked. It was such a struggle. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that you always say sometimes a struggle win. We know sometimes winning on the road in the SEC is a tough thing to do, but I don't know Mizzou. That I was kind of shocked. Honestly,
yeah, I was shocked. You know, I had to actually worked an event and checked that score in the middle of it, and I was like, wait a minute now, like I believe it was 22-19 or something. Yeah. They were down three right. when we looked, and you know, a few of us snuck into the back room to put it on a phone and watch it.
Yeah,
we couldn't believe we saw that score. But yeah, we'll see. Georgia's got Auburn next week at home, then Vanderbilt at home, and then a bye before the cocktail party against Florida before a tough November, you know, so maybe they can use those games to get things right. Because they got to work on some stuff.
Yeah, definitely not as invincible maybe as what we thought at first. You know, they routed Oregon, they routed South Carolina. I mean, they looked like, oh, Georgia's just on a different level than everybody. And I don't know, the last 2 weeks maybe tell a little different story that they are human after all.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the rest of October holds for them. We'll move to, let's see, Ole Miss had a big win over Kentucky in a big ranked matchup there in Oxford, and they used their defense to get the win. Kentucky, some sloppy play, a fumble late. Very, very sloppy early game. This is the Rebels' best start since 2014.
Yeah.
So Lane Kiffin got them looking good, and that's something big to show you that you can win a low scoring game like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, usually you think Ole Miss, you think they're going to win a game like that. It's going to be a high scoring game. Really different than what you're accustomed to seeing, you know, with Ole Miss, it's a much more physical game. Yeah, like you said, very sloppy, but I mean, they did what they had to do. You know, they gave up some plays, but they didn't break it all. They contained Will Levis very well. You know, forced him into that fumble at the end, and you know, they really did what they had to do to come out on top. I mean, it was a interesting matchup going in, and it, you know, lived up as far as interest and throughout. And definitely for an 11 a.m., it doesn't get much better than that.
For sure, yeah. It's a good way to start the football Saturday.
For sure.
Last piece of business, the nightcap in the SEC. Auburn blew a 17-0 lead at home to LSU. I believe four turnovers, a fumble for a touchdown to get LSU off the board, and then a big interception late. It was just kind of more of the same from Auburn, just kind of sloppy football, not taking care of it. The quarterback had over 300 yards passing, so the offense looked good at times, but couldn't close a game out.
Definitely more of the same. I mean, you know, I of course watched the end of the Bama Arkansas game, and then I was like, saw the Theos, like, well, let me flip over to the ESPN real quick, and I was like, I think it was 17-3 when I first turned it on. I was like, what? And you know, but they definitely imploded there in the second half. Didn't score anything. I don't know. Both teams look terrible though. Terrible. Like, there's so many mistakes, and like, it's like nobody wanted to win at all last night, which is, I guess it has been that way a couple of times recently in that matchup, but you know, no one really wants to win. But I don't know. That was both teams look pretty bad there, but definitely a tough, as hot as that seat is there from Ryan Harsin. I know he would have loved to have gotten that win to get a little heat off his plate there, but yeah, definitely stays up there, up 17 at home, and to lose and not even a field goal in the second half. Tough way to lose to a rival in a must win situation.
Yeah, like you said, ugly games recently in that rivalry used to be. You know, it's definitely not the same as the 2000s, and that was a premier SEC matchup. Oh yeah, that was must see viewing every time they played. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, Harsin did himself no favors, and you know, in my mind, Brian Kelly has done nothing to impress me yet in his tenure at LSU. That's a
you might.
Yeah, I believe they were favored by eight or so, anyway, at least yeah, a touchdown. So that was a
eight, and going into eight on the road. I mean, anytime you know, it's troublesome for Auburn anytime that they're. Just with how hard it is usually with the atmosphere and Jordan Hare to go in and your 8-point favorite just kind of showed you where that program is right now.
Yeah. But, well, let's move to the Big 12.
Yes.
A couple of things of note. The biggest one, of course, TCU just curb stomped Oklahoma.
Wow.
I mean, they laid it on the Sooners. Just
start to finish. Just pounding.
Big. But yeah, it was never close. It was never in doubt. Just an ugly, ugly game for Oklahoma. Yeah, TCU looked great. They're still unbeaten. Oklahoma now, two Big 12 losses
in a row.
Don't want to say they're out of the championship picture there, but they're definitely out of it. I mean, they're definitely out of the playoff picture for sure.
Yeah.
And they need a lot of help to even get a Big 12 title in Brent Venables' first year there. TCU, meanwhile, they'll take that unbeaten record on the road next week.
Game day.
To play the team that is hosting game day. Rock, Chalk, Jayhawk, the Kansas Jayhawks, unbeaten still after a win over Iowa State.
Oh, man.
Can you believe it, Greg?
I mean, it's epic. You know, it's exciting. I mean, it's fun to see a team like that. I mean, they had no history of football other than a couple of seasons there with I forget the coach's name there when they 08-09. Other than that, I mean, it's been some century of bad football there, and just where they're at, and you know that coach, he's definitely. But I guess if you can win it, what was it, Wisconsin Whitewater, with some win some titles there, I mean, you can definitely. But he's definitely the man for the job there, and man, Lawrence is gonna be rocking for the first time. And football, maybe ever, as far as I mean, by now you think every other year, oh man, they're getting ready for basketball in Lawrence, and here they are.
Yeah, it's their first time they've been ranked since 2009. Their best start since the 2007 season when they played in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, and first game day ever.
Yeah, first game day ever. So yeah, it's going to be like you said, they're going to be rocking there. Crazy. It's just crazy. You figure at some point that bubble's gonna burst, but it hasn't yet.
It's fun for them.
Yeah, so enjoy it while you can.
And oh, definitely.
Maybe they keep going. Who knows? Maybe it's another Big 12 title. But like I said, big game next week. Two unbeatens, TCU and Kansas. The Big 12. The other big game of note in that conference, Oklahoma State went on the road, beat Baylor, got a little revenge for their loss in the Big 12 title game last year. Not a blowout, but a solid, sound win for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking good.
They are looking good. You know, we know that they have the offense. You know, it's just a matter of their, you know, some questions of defense. But, yeah, I mean, they went into Waco against a solid, maybe not the best Baylor Bears team. We've seen some better, but, you know, still a solid team. And, you know, there really wasn't any question. You know, they, from start to finish, they kind of handle business there. Baylor with the ugly uniforms, maybe that was the reason.
Yeah, those Baylor uniforms were hideous. Hideous. We'll move out west to the Pac-12 real quick. Last week we asked ourselves, is Washington good? Mm. And then they went into Los Angeles Friday night, and UCLA just ran all over.
They really did.
Washington made it a little bit closer late, but now UCLA. Now we got to ask that question:
yeah.
Are they good?
Are they good?
They're 5-0.
5-0.
They're looking great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, messed up a couple of parlays for me there. had Washington on the money line. I guess I was buying into the hype a little bit. But UCLA did what they had to do, and. You know, that game really wasn't as close. Did you watch any of that game? Because it really.
Yeah, I did. I caught the second half of it once I realized it was kind of a fun game to put on Friday.
Right, yeah, for sure. I mean, it wasn't really even that close. I mean, the final score was close, but UCLA was dominant. Like, wasn't really any question. Like, it's an impressive win for the Bruins, considering, you know, there's a lot of questions. You know, they had that tough, you know, they had the South Alabama tough game. They've had some other games that have been closer than what people thought that they should be. And, you know, the lack of crowd support. That crowd was actually kind of solid for Friday there. I was kind of worried. Glad that they picked that up a little for them there. But, yeah, this Bruins team, and they have another big game Saturday at home. I think Utah's coming to town. So that'll really
– Yep.
They win that one, and, man, they're rolling.
Yeah, we'll find out how good the Bruins are. They got Utah next week, like you said, and then on the 22nd, they go up to Oregon.
Yeah. But.
So, yeah, we'll see. Nothing really else to note in Pac-12. Oregon won comfortably over Stanford. Yeah. USC won comfortably.
Yeah, the big boys kind of did what they elsewhere. Did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll go back across country, ACC real quick. Clemson won their big matchup with NC State at home. Kind of shut them down a little bit. You know, was, yeah, just not, again, kind of similar, not a huge blowout, but really didn't seem like it was in doubt for Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson is, you know, two big wins in a row there. I mean, they went in it, won at Wake. Home against NC State. I mean, two of the teams that people thought, oh, Clemson's on upset alert. And, you know, second week in a row, they handle business. But, yeah, it wasn't really ever, like you said, a blowout. But, I mean, it really wasn't ever a time where we really thought, man, Clemson might lose this game either. So, kind of handle business like we had got accustomed to. And, you know, they kind of got out of that mold last year. And it seemed to be back into that mold this year is kind of that favorite of the ACC again.
Yeah, and the team they beat last week, Wake Forest, went into Tallahassee and won. I believe they're third in a row over Florida State.
Yeah.
Never in my lifetime did I think we'd say that. But Wake is a different program these days.
Different
and they're
program.
Looking good. That was a good game. Florida State, look, you know, it wasn't a blowout. Florida State, it wasn't a bad loss. I mean, you want to win
loss.
At home. You want to win those big games at home. But it looks like Florida State is on the up. They're just maybe not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, good win for Wake on the road there.
Yeah.
Clemson's maybe back to the program they should be.
Right.
So, yeah, that's about what we got in the ACC there.
Yeah.
We'll finish up our college recap for the day. Big Ten action. Kind of the only big game there, you know, Ohio State blew out Rutgers, nothing there. Michigan went into Iowa and won pretty comfortably there themselves, too.
Right.
They were able to run the ball in that tough Iowa defense. Right. And, of course, you know, that Iowa offense just
that offense
can't score
is
points.
So terrible. I mean, you just feel bad for that defense.
Bumps.
I mean, that defense is top in the country, top defense in the country. And just they're on the field so much. I mean, against a good team like Michigan, they're just going to wear it down eventually. And it's kind of what happened there yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, it kind of reminds me a lot of, you know, watching my Ravens teams in the 2000s. Those Ray Lewis and Ed Reed defenses
were
just amazing. And then just nobody, nothing, no help on offense.
Yeah.
You know, like throwing out Kyle Baller.
That was the guy. I know that was one of your favorites.
Yeah. I'm sure Greg remembers a lot of angry rants of mine during college. It's tough when you're such a great defense and your offense gives you nothing to work with.
But the other thing too is just like, what's his name, Spencer Petras. I mean, is there nobody better to even think about putting in the game? I mean, can it hurt? I mean, I don't know. That's just crazy. But
when you got to think about it too, Kirk Ferentz obviously is a legend there, and he's done
so many great
things. You got to wonder about his son's role with the offense there as a coach. It's, maybe Iowa fans are just happy with what they got.
I don't know. Like, I know a few that have been pretty upset with that offense, but.
They got it.
Hey, I mean, it's a tough, tough move, but he might have to fire his son.
Hey, you know, Bobby Bowden used to be able to.
Yeah, he did.
You know, tell his sons what to do.
He did kind of run with Jeff Bowden. I know he fired him maybe a couple times here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, so we'll see. Anything else from yesterday we'll talk about before we get to our power rankings?
Just another great week. Some unexpected things, of course, with OU taking that big loss again. Every week seems to be living up to the hype. So, I mean, it's been a interesting week, another very interesting week. And I guess also we'll just kind of see what happens with Georgia going forward, but.
Yeah, that's a couple things to watch big there. Sure. All right, well, why don't you start us off? Who's your number 10 team on your power rankings?
Number 10 team there in college football. I'm moving them up. Last week, I think I had Kentucky in about that spot. Moving up Ole Miss into that top 10 at that 10 spot. Big, impressive home win yesterday morning there against a tough Kentucky team. Big win for the program.
Big win. I have the Nittany Lions of Penn State there at number 10. They finally cracked my rankings. They're, not doing anything flashy, but they're unbeaten.
All right.
They're beating the teams on their schedule.
Exactly.
Number 9, I got Tennessee. Kind of same thing. Like, they really, we'll see more from both of those teams when they play, tougher opponents. Tennessee's got Alabama in a couple weeks.
Right.
So that'll be a huge one.
Yeah.
Who's your number 9?
I had your 10 in my nine. I got Penn State. Similar, nothing impressive. They're just winning games and doing what they have to do to stay undefeated. So
all right, how about your number 8?
Number 8, I have the Vols of Tennessee at my 8 spot. Of course off. But impressive team so far this season, have a interesting matchup with LSU coming up on Saturday, and then of course the third Saturday in October in 2 weeks now. So that we'll see what happens in the month of October, but definitely a talented team right now.
Mm-hmm. My number 8, I got a different orange team. I got Oklahoma State. We mentioned their big win over at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of flipping a script from what they used to be. They used to be high-powered offense, winning a lot of shootouts, and now they can still score some points, but their defense is really what's winning them games. I think that's really big, especially in that conference. Number 7 is where I have the Rebels of Ole Miss. Again, we talked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. If they can win games with defense and add to that offense, that's big, especially in the conference there.
For sure.
Yeah, who's your number 7?
That's where I have Okie State there, the Cowboys, undefeated on the season. Got a big home win road win. Went into Waco, got a solid win there, and looking like a very good team. And honestly, with OU already having lost twice, and just where they're at, I mean, I'd say on paper anyway, the favorite to win the conference right now.
Yeah. All right. How about your number 6?
6, I have the Trojans of USC.
I have the same. Not much to say. They're taking care of business. Right.
Taking care of business. And I think we're kind of waiting for that Utah game.
Basically. That's it. We're waiting for that big matchup there. Number 5, I got Wolverines of Michigan. We talked about their win in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They, they can run the ball. And they're playing tough defense. That's what Jim Harbaugh wants out of his teams.
Right.
So, again, we'll see when they have some tougher games here in a little bit.
For sure.
Maybe we're just waiting for them to get to Ohio State.
Right. Really.
Maybe that's just what we're waiting for. Who's your number 5?
That's who I have at 5 as well. Michigan, pretty much said it. Solid win yesterday. Some people are like, oh, upset alert. We know about Iowa's history against top 5 teams. Recently, but Michigan really went in there, handled business, ran the ball well, and it'll be interesting. At some point they're going to see Penn State and Ohio State, and that'll be kind of what will base how successful of a season this is for them. But so far, so good for the Wolverines.
Mm-hmm. How about your number 4?
4, I have the Buckeyes of Ohio State. They put a whooping on Rutgers there. They're just playing. They're just winning games, blowing teams out. But, you know, I kind of moved them down a little bit just because until they play a little better comp, you know, just kind of where they're at for me there.
Yeah, I have Clemson there at number four. They're starting to look like the team that kind of dominated the ACC this past decade. Big win over NC State. Nothing much else to say.
Yeah.
My number three teams where I have Alabama. I considered moving them up a little bit, but, you know, just the uncertainty with the injury to Bryce Young, you know, that's more serious than we're being led on than – you know, that's huge. That's a huge blow. As you know, as good as Jalen Milroe can be and as fast as he is, because he might be the fastest guy on that team.
Yeah, he's a blazer.
it's just the unknown. We just don't know. Sure. We'll see. Of course, the good news, I don't know if we mentioned earlier, but when Bryce Young came back out of the medical tent after halftime, he was not wearing – his arm was not in a sling.
Right. So that's always a good thing.
That's probably big. And what Saban said was that, you know, he's had these injuries before, and usually in a few days he's back to normal. So hopefully that's what it is for Tide fans. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
You're number three.
Three, I have Clemson in my three spots. You know, the Tigers, two very good wins in a row there against Wake and then NC State, so they're handling business and back to being the favorite of the conference again.
All right. How about your number two?
Two, I've made a little move there. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter right now because, I mean, they're going to see each other in December, probably undefeated. But move Georgia down to number two. You know, last week I was like, well, it's just one game against a nobody, and, you know, they may be a little bored. Kind of moved them down just because, you know, winning the – I mean, Columbia, not the toughest place to go into. I didn't expect what I saw last night. And luckily, they were playing Mizzou, or they would have taken L last night.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. I got Ohio State as my number two, kind of same reason as all year. They're taking care of their business. Their offense seems to be humming. Mm-hmm. They're just an incredibly talented team. But, yeah, we're waiting for them to play some bigger games. Yeah. And then I kept Georgia in the number one spot, kind of just a king stay the king mentality.
Right.
Ugly win. They definitely, as we talked about earlier, they got some easier games this month that, you know, I'd like to see them kind of take care of business a little bit better than they have. Of course, which means that your number one is Alabama. Any thoughts?
I just moved them up. I mean, they went on the road there. Despite losing Bryce there and, you know, a little panic during the third quarter. They really, you know, came through when they had to. Got the big win against Arkansas. So, you know, I thought that was, you know, enough to move them up to the one for the week there. Yeah, but, you know, it's just a matter of how serious is the injury. Doesn't sound that serious, but at the same time, we know that Nick likes to play things down as best as possible. So who knows sometimes with that. Honestly, you know, I would actually if I wouldn't mind him actually sitting out against A&M. I think Milroe might be good enough to do what we need to do on Saturday. So we'll see how – I mean, I'm sure they'll go Bryce if he's healthy enough. But, you know, just for the safety protocol, just to be more cautious, wouldn't be too bad, I don't think.
No, I tend to agree with you, especially if they can – you know, if Milroe gives them that option, that kind of read option look – and gives them that ability to run the ball like they did in the fourth quarter in particular, but really all day long.
Right.
That's huge for that offense.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe gives that line a little confidence before, you know, Bryce Young comes back. Yeah. And if they can add that deadly of a rushing game to what Bryce Young can do, then that's huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we move to the NFL, just some breaking news. I got here a little alert. Colorado fired
their coach. Yeah.
Yep, Carl Durrell, which was a questionable hire in the first place.
Right. I mean, he had to figure it was coming at some point this year, just a matter of what week was it going to come in.
Yeah, rough season for fans in the state of Colorado, college football.
Yeah.
Buffs are bad. Colorado State Rams are bad. Air Force just got put on probation.
You know it's a tough time when the service academies are going on probation. Like, what?
Yeah, that was hilarious. We got that alert the other day. I saw my mother was in town. Wow. She's an Army person. Mm-hmm. She served and she laughed. Yeah. She thought that was pretty funny that Air Force got put on probation. Exactly. She's like, I didn't even know that the service academies could get probation.
Now, what was it? I mean, I saw the
item. It's recruiting violations of some sort. I didn't see the penalties or anything. It's the 2-year probation. I know that. Crazy. I don't think it's any, it's nothing major, but it's, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, you're thinking that just in some of the, where we at with NIL and all that, like a lot of this stuff, how is it still in place? But anyway.
It's just a shit show, really, with all of that.
Exactly.
That. But that'll end our college thoughts for the week. We'll move to the NFL. I guess the big story so far this week, was Thursday night. Tua Tagovailoa's injury. He got hurt last week. We talked about it a little bit where, you know, he went out and then came back in, and neither of us were watching the game, so we really didn't know what kind of injury it was. After seeing the video and seeing him stumble and fall down, his lineman picking him up. It is just wasn't pretty. And then reading some experts, what's his name? Christopher Nowitzki, old WWE wrestler, a Harvard graduate that left professional wrestling to start a concussion institute, you know, head injury.
Right.
Saw a tweet of his before the Thursday night game saying, you know, it's a complete failure and a setback for the concussion protocols if Tua even plays tonight. Yeah. He did, and then got just a horrible looking injury, just slung down on his head and had that scary moment where his fingers froze up. You know, got taken to the local hospital, but did get released that night, flew home with the team. But since then, the NFL or the independent doctor that's supposed to look over those protocols has been fired. The NFLPA has launched an investigation. It seems like someone's probably going to get sued somewhere. If not, you know, that doctor, then the NFL, and maybe even the Miami Dolphins themselves. Okay. Mike McDonald was very defensive of the Dolphins and his actions regarding Tua, but just a scary situation all around. And we hope that Tua, you know, we understand that player mentality. He's going to want to come and play.
Especially, you know, in the situation he was in. I mean, this is a man that, you know, we've heard so many rumors that, they were wanting to bring in Deshaun Watson, get rid of Tua. And, you know, the whole story is about secret meetings with Tom Brady coming in. So, I mean, he knows he's on a short string there, and you know he's already known that he has injuries, and you know I'm sure worried about any chance that they could to move on from me. They're gonna try to use that, so I understand where he's coming from, wanting to play it at all costs there. But you know, that's more of an organization thing. I mean, they have the final say on that type of thing, and you know they got to pull him out, man. They can't put him back in last Sunday, and then. He did not look like him. I mean, he looked out of it on Thursday. Like a couple of his throws, like when he underthrew Tyreek Hill and the guy, you know, intercepted. I mean, he did like, I don't know. He just didn't look good at all. Like it seemed like it was still affecting him, no matter what they say. Like I don't know. But in the end,
look all around.
It really is. But you know, I was talking about with folks at work, and what we were saying is, you know, the bad thing is though, if it hadn't been some, you know, high profile quarterback, you know, this issue wouldn't even have come up. You know, I'm sure there's people all the time that have a concussion on, you know, a lineman or something that's concussion on Sunday, and then Thursday, Sunday, they're back playing again, and no one even thinks about it because he's an offensive lineman. No one's even paying attention to that guy. But we'll see what.
Yeah, the scary thing about it. My thoughts on it, you know, my conversation to have with people is, the NFL is a billion-dollar business, and they have the means to not just fund research, but to really do things about it. You know, better equipment, not just make dumb little rule changes,
right?
You know, really make protocols and really kind of force these players to, you know, be like, look, we know you guys want to play, we get that, but. We just have to take safety precautions. Right. It really should be. If you go out with a head injury, unless it's literally just like you got slapped on the head,
right?
And then you're like, no, I'm good. Like you literally can pass. You probably just shouldn't come back into the game.
Exactly.
Regardless. And what I was saying to people is it doesn't need to get to the situation where it's like, NASCAR did with Dale Earnhardt. You know, NASCAR was an unsafe sport, and they had to have one of their, you know, legendary figures die in a wreck in their biggest race
before
they really took, you know, the precautions to ensure driver safety. And it's not like that stuff, the safe walls and their neck braces and all that, weren't invented until after Dale Earnhardt died. Exactly. They existed because they were able to implement that stuff right away, just about. So we know that there is technology to help these players' heads with the concussions. Exactly. We've seen some of these new space-looking helmets out there, but there's got to be some more stuff to do.
There definitely has to be.
The NFL doesn't, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do that they probably won't. Like, they really just should not play Thursday night games.
Yeah, I mean, that's
they never will.
I mean, it's all about the money. And, you know, that's the other thing, too, is, you know, even in this situation, you know, I'm even skeptical about what's going to change, sadly, because who is there to actually, you know, keep – it's its own business. I mean, no one really can tell the NFL what they can and can't do other than, you know, fan support. And we know, unfortunately, that's not going to really change. So, you know, public outcry only does so much. And, I mean – so I don't, yeah, but as you said, they have the money. They know what needs to happen. There's, I mean, so much that can still be done on top of what's being done. So it's just a tough situation for the players, more or less. Just,
yeah. And, you know, that kind of goes to show you how much these owners like actually care about these players, because, but like you said, it's also on the fans. Like, it's one thing to outcry and make your Twitter post and, you know, maybe even march or sign letters, et cetera. But it's a whole other thing to, you know, they have to basically stop watching Thursday games or games altogether, which just won't happen.
That'll never happen. I mean, unfortunately, that's just how fans are. I mean, we're a society that loves football of all types, and, you know, that'll never change. But with that being said, and, you know, I can't say that I'd ever stop watching, because that'd be hypocritical of me. But until, you know, unless people really stand up for it and really say, I'm not going to watch until we get better protocols, and it's a large amount of people that can make a change, I don't know how much change is actually going to happen there.
Yeah, barring that or player strike of some sort. Exactly. But hopefully they can find some happy medium, you know, where, like, maybe they only do Thursday night games
just
in
get
the middle
back to
of the
where,
season when teams have byes, exactly, and you have to have a bye the week before.
Or just get to back play to where we just have the Thanksgiving games. And we had most of our lives before Thursday night was an every week thing. And, I mean, the NFL was fine. No one was upset by that. And I don't know.
Yeah, you got to figure they definitely make extra money from Thursday night games, just, you know, by the TV bids alone. You know, yeah, Amazon gave them an ungodly amount of money.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, but like you said, yeah, the NFL was doing just fine before Thursday games. And, you know, college has Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday games too. Right. But, you know, yeah, like I said, maybe they can just find some way. You know, you can't play a Thursday game if you played 4 days earlier on Sunday.
Yeah.
Football's just too physical a sport to really be playing two games within that time span.
Or or like you said, get to more of the end or middle of the season where, you know, where people are having their bye weeks, and you have a Thursday night game, someone coming off a bye week, you know, where they're playing. You know, we got to put the matchups based on who has a bye. If you want to cap Thursday night, they'll do it in the middle of the season where people are coming off a bye week or something, so they're not only having, what, two and a half days really to get ready for the game there.
All right, let's get to our power rankings in this week. Just another reminder for the listeners, we record this in the afternoon on Sunday, kind of in the late window, the first set of games. So these are based on last week's results and with the Thursday night game taken into account. That said, my number 8 team, the Jaguars. Got to give them props where props are due. They're looking good. Trevor Lawrence looks like he's the happiest person on earth to be rid of Urban Meyer. He just looks like a completely different – looks like the Clemson Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Again, so, yeah, just giving them props for their due. Haven't checked the score in their game with the Eagles lately. I know they were winning early.
Yeah, they were winning early.
Who's your number 8?
Let's see. I have the Bucs at 8. You know, not the prettiest of things. They took the loss last week, but I mean, they've had a lot of injuries there. And to only lose by two at Green Bay, came down to that 2-point conversion. Still a good team when they all get healthy. I mean, you know, definitely still a contender there.
All right. How about your number seven?
Seven. I have the Packers at seven there. Since that blowout week one against the Vikings, really have come back and handled business there. Despite losing Devontae, still, I would say definitely a contender for the North and also a playoff team there for now.
Mm-hmm. My number seven is defending champs, the Rams. My comment on them is that their offense still needs to get going. It's kind of not to the level that they're used to.
Right.
And, they got to fix their run game. They got to involve Allen Robinson more. You know, it's a great receiver.
Right.
You know, it's a guy that can be your second or even third receiver, maybe once Van Jefferson, if he gets healthy. That's a weapon to have that they need to utilize more. He needs to get a bigger target share,
sure.
I believe. Number six, I got the Bucs. They just got to get healthy, too. They're another team. They need to get their receivers healthy. They're playing with some real no names down there. You know, they got Mike Evans and Julio Jones and Chris Godwin on the roster, and none of them are playing right now. And if they can get all three of them healthy, that just gives Tom Brady a lot of weapons.
For sure.
All right. How about you? Number six.
Number six, I have the Minnesota Vikings. They're a team that's got the close win against the Lions last week. Had to come back a little bit. Won again early this morning. back and forth, ugly game there against the Saints team that's quite a few injuries there. Probably shouldn't have been as close as it was, but they're still winning games. So that's my six.
All right. How about your number five?
Five, I have the Chiefs there. Took a little moved them down a little bit. Had a loss against the Colts last week, and not really. I don't think worrisome, just because the Colts, they're grown men. They didn't want to start off 0-4 on the season there, so 0-3 on the season there. So I mean, I understand that they'll blow up there on the sideline between the OC and they got to get that figured out. But I think that's my five there.
Yeah, number five, I got the Ravens. They bounced back, beat the Patriots last week, were able to seal the game off.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, they're in a battle with the Bills right now, tied at 20 in the fourth quarter in some really ugly, rainy conditions in Baltimore. Under my notes for the Ravens, I just said they're probably going to regret not paying Lamar before this season because his price tag is just going up. He's having just unbelievable. His numbers right now are actually better than they were in his MVP season.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thought. number four, I had the Dolphins, and the only notes I had on them were shame on them. how about your number four?
Number four is where I had the Ravens. They're just got the close win last week against big matchup. They bounced back up to the Dolphins game one last week and a close one with the Buffalo today. Like I said, they're playing good ball. Lamar, yeah, his price tag definitely going up every week there. And I say good for him there. Bet on yourself, and hopefully it continues to pay off for him. But that's my four.
All right. How about your number three?
Number three, of course, I mean, I wrote all this on Thursday before the games there, so this is kind of before that. But I have Buffalo at three. Moved them down a little bit because, they did lose there to Miami there. It was a 19-17 game. Very, very close there. I thought the most interesting thing before all this Tua thing was the butt punt last week. I thought that was pretty funny there by the Miami. And, I thought we'd be able to talk more about that. But, yeah, that's where I have the Bills there. But, still a good team. A lot of injuries there in Buffalo on the defensive side and on that offensive line. So, want to see them get healthy there in a tough game with Baltimore right now, 2020. So we'll see how that plays out, but moved them down a little bit, but still a good team there in Buffalo.
All right, my number three, I had the Chiefs bump them down a little bit. I think, like you said, Indy was desperate not to start this season. I think it would have been 0-2-1.
They did have that first time, week. That's right.
Yeah. The one concern I have with the Chiefs right now is that I don't see a lack of a big playmaker at wide receiver.
Yeah, they don't have that at all.
Uh-huh. And, you know, we thought I understood the decision not to, you know, to trade Tyreek Hill to open up some funds to, you know, build the line a little bit better.
Right.
But they just, there's no one that's really stepped up to be that big receiver playmaker. And, you know, that could hurt them later on in the season, maybe, you wonder.
Possibly. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how that is. Number two is where I had the Bills. Like we said, they're in a tight one with the Ravens right now. They were actually down big early, kind of down 20-3, I believe. And they've battled back, changed it at 20. They made some good halftime adjustments.
Right.
Couldn't stop the Ravens offense in the first half, and they've kind of shut them down. All the Ravens are kind of driving right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it makes me wonder if it's kind of like almost the NBA now, where, you know, the top teams are going to make runs. Like, they're going to get down, doesn't matter.
Right.
They're going to make a run.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, we've seen that a couple of times in the first couple of weeks of the season anyway.
Yeah, how about your number two? Yeah.
Number two. And, man, I had Philly at two. You know, they had the, you know, still undefeated there. And just playing good ball. You know, Jalen Hurts, another guy that's, you know, he's kind of in that Lamar category there. You know, people underestimate him just because he's not a prototypical pocket passer. And, you know, he's definitely exceeding the expectations there. And, you know, Philly, you know, people are like, why did they drop Jalen in the second round? But now you look at it, you're like, they got a steal in the second round for Jalen.
And how about your number one?
Like I said, I wrote this on Thursday before the game there. At that point, man, Miami was rolling. I mean, they look, you know, it was shame on them for what's happened. But, I mean, they were rolling there. You know, got the undefeated, coming off a big win against Buffalo, you know. And, you know, I was really liking what the Dolphins were doing there. And now it'll be interesting to see what they do the rest of this way here. But that was originally my number one, and I'm sure that'll change quickly here with just kind of where they're. We'll see what happens with them going forward.
Mm-hmm. And my number one is where I had the Eagles, just giving them props for a great start. You know, like you said, Jalen looks like now a steal, just an absolute steal, and he's playing great ball. Happy to see that for him. For a guy that's almost never at any point in his career, college or pro, really gotten the props for you know,
yeah, I mean,
being as good as he is, and not to say his game doesn't have things that he's needed to fix, but he's fixed. I mean, his accuracy has just gone a lot up this year.
And, you know, they did really. I mean, they put what they, you know, they built around him. You know, brought in a number one guy there in AJ Brown to go along with another number one in Devontae. So I mean, they realized what they had, and you know, put the right. I think they so far put the right people in place around him, and that's, you know, it's good to see that you know, some teams are, you know, willing to go with what they have, because, you know, so many teams, as soon as something goes a little bit awry, they want to move on. And, you know, that's the one thing that really annoys me about the NFL recently, is just in the last couple of years, you know, a guy has a couple of bad games, and or, you know, a rookie or second season, they maybe not living up to what they expected, and they're just so ready to move on to draft some guy that they see in college. But everybody who's getting drafted in the first round looks great in college. So, you know, people, you know, just have the patience and let things play out sometimes.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a hell of a wide receiver 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it really is.
AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. You figure, you know, Devontae's your speedster, AJ's your tough guy, but Devontae goes up and gets catches.
He does.
A guy with his body type really shouldn't sometimes. He's just right.
I mean, you have to be a tough guy to make it this far with that body type to make it to the league. I mean, just that in itself shows you how tough of a guy he is there, because I'm sure he's been told his whole life, oh, you're too little for this and you're too little for that. Hadn't stopped him yet, so.
No, yeah, definitely hell of a player. We all know from his Heisman Trophy winning season in Alabama. Uh-oh. Big fourth and goal for the Ravens. Yeah. Oh, intercepted in the end zone. Buffalo defense stepping up in second half. Ooh, Lamar is not happy about it. I'm going to say about 4 minutes left in that one, a little over 4 minutes, tied at 20.
Oh, look at that. The Falcons are going to beat the Browns.
Oh, Atlanta. They're a feisty team this year.
They are feisty.
Oh, Lamar had Duvernay open early and missed him.
Yeah, my red zone's a little bit behind, so I'm just catching up to that one. So
I know we actually got here in Birmingham. We actually have this on a.
I'm sure I do too, but yeah,
the game of the week, yeah,
red zone. Unless it's the Cowboys, of course. Here in Omaha, yeah, they're not going to put us on for the Commanders game. We're handling business today, so that's good to see. But yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's an ugly interception there by Lamar. Yikes.
Yeah, that was tough. The line didn't really give him any time to set there either.
No, not at all.
It's tough. A big 14-play drive to get down there. And
yeah.
They went for it instead of kicking the field goal.
Oh, he's wide open in the corner. Out. Wow.
Yeah, you're just seeing that replay now. Yeah.
Oh, dude, when they wide open.
Yeah, but like I said, yeah, Buffalo brought a good blitz there. So yeah. Lamar, I guess, didn't have time to see him early, but he's going to watch that on film and be really upset about himself.
Yeah,
all right. Moving from the NFL, the only other thing in sports I had was we talked a little bit last week about Major League Baseball's final week. The Braves won Friday night and Saturday night over the Mets to jump them, take a one-game lead in the division. They beat DeGrom and Scherzer to do it, too.
That's
so they have the big Sunday night game tonight. If they can
stay out that play-in.
Stay out that first round is huge. That's kind of what the big incentive now. Obviously, both these teams are already in the playoffs. But the big incentive to win your division is to not have to play in that wild card round.
Yeah, for sure.
And have to throw your best three starters in that because it's just a best of three series. You know, anything can happen in that.
Exactly.
If the Braves win tonight, it means they only need to win one of three games against the Marlins in their last series to clinch a division.
Nice.
If the Mets pull out the win tonight, they'll own the season tiebreaker. Mm. So they would just need to be even. So we'll see with that. You got a prediction for that? Who's going to take the division?
I mean, based on the weekend, I think the Braves. I mean, they beat the power of the Mets pitching there. You know, impressive weekend series there. You know, you just like to finish out strong. But yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if they were to lose a division at this point, just with that kind of momentum winning the first two of that weekend series.
Yeah, we shall see. Obviously, I'm a big Braves fan, so I kind of agree. We've got Charlie Morton on the mound tonight, so if you can get that kind of playoff Charlie Morton, that's going to be a big tonight. The only other note I had with that was ESPN continues to torment college football fans
with cutting into Aaron Judge's things.
There was one from Thursday night, the Houston Tulane game, which was a great game,
it was a double overtime game.
Late in the fourth quarter,
they cut
into an Aaron Judge at bat and switched the audio over, too. That's the thing.
That's
they switched
the
audio
to
the baseball game.
Yeah.
And the Orioles were having a conference on the mound, and they kept the audio on the baseball game for like a minute of just a mound visit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just who is pulling that trigger there?
Because you gotta I'm a Yankees fan, but yeah, obviously if you wanted to watch that, you're going to flip over to MLB where it's at, or you're going to, if you're in a area where the game was on, you're going to turn to it. Like, you know, when he's up, I mean, I get notifications every time he comes up there. If I wanted to watch that specifically, I turn to MLB TV. You know, they moving that. Every time he comes up, I think they have a live thing for him, too. So, yeah, ESPN doing that is pretty funny because most of the college football fans are, A, in the Southeast, and they love the Braves, or B, they don't give anything about baseball. So.
Yeah, and that's and you mentioned it last week, too. Like, it's great what Judge is doing. You know, he's going to – you know, if he can get one more, he sets the AL home run season record.
But it's still not the all-time record. I mean, no matter –
It's not.
No matter what we think about it, and there's always going to be someone says, like we said, oh, he didn't cheat. But numbers are numbers. The 70-some was set by Bonds is what it is. I mean – very impressive what he's doing there. Still, very well has a couple more games to get to 62, the all-time AL. And, you know, it's impressive because only so many people have ever gotten that far in a season there. And supposedly the you know, I'm hoping he is clean there. I mean, I would think so, but that'd be crazy in itself if not. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's questionable decision-making at best. You know, have a picture-in-picture, but keep your audio.
Yeah, at least keep the audio with the football. That's the weirdest part. Like, they switch everything. Like, it's weird.
Oh, that is a ticky-tack roughing the passer call on the Ravens there. That's big. That's, I don't know about that. You might see that one around. I don't know if they'll show that on Red Zone or not, but that's a big, it's a second and 15 or first and 15.
Did they call that on the first and 15? Is that? Yeah, I just saw the first and 15 play. Is that really the roughing the passer right there?
Yeah, that's a hit. He hit him right after he released the ball. Didn't hit him in the head.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a second or two late, but I don't.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't think you can throw the flag on that. If you hit him in the head, I would have understood. But in
this part
of
the game, 2 minutes. Yeah.
I'm not a good first down play after that, though. So, 2 minute warning, and yeah, we'll see. It should be a fun finish. Anything else in the world sports you want to touch on?
Man, you know, just. And both seasons, a lot of NFL and college, just a lot of unpredictable things going on. I mean, every week is something there. A lot of good close games there. Definitely been a tough weekend with parlays. I play a few every week. It's been a up and down season so far.
There you go. All right. So what's done up real good for you this week?
Up real good. I probably say just when my sons come along in school, going into the school year, just in the month that it's been, I mean, he's really come along in a lot of areas there. So happy with them right now. So,
well, that's awesome. That's good.
Sir, what about you?
Let's see. Done up real good for me this week. I'll say my mom's lasagna and my mother-in-law's chili.
Fantastic.
She came in town, made a good batch of
good
chili.
Batch
this
of chili.
Week,
so that's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in nights of getting a little chilly. No pun intended at night. So it's good to have that.
Yeah, anytime you have a mother in law that can cook, that's always a plus. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Come home to, you know, just a big batch of stuff on the stove.
Good
that's
stuff.
Always fun.
Oh, definitely.
But all right, buddy. All right, buddy. That is it for this week, us. Y'all, we will see you again next week.
Yes,
Greg,
sir.
Man. Take it easy. Have a good one, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you once again for listening to Taking On Sports. We do ask that you please rate us and subscribe to us and tell anybody who you think would be interested to do the same. Also, be sure to check out all of the great content on thealabamatake.com, including our various podcasts on all kinds of subjects. We got literature and Star Wars and wrestling and pop culture with TV and movies and music. Everything you could want is on thealabamatake.com and our family of podcasts. Thank you once again for listening. Be sure to join us next week.